Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich, winners of the Brokers Ireland Investment Excellence Award each year since 2014. Now that's reassuring.
Tweet at Drive Time RTE.
The days of cheap food are over. That's the warning from the ICMSA, the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association, today, as they warn that the increasing costs of producing food are here to stay. Costs are going to remain high. Dennis Drennan is the president of the ICMSA and he joins us now. Dennis, you're welcome. They've gone up and you say they're not coming back down.
Yeah, good evening, Sharon. Good evening to all your listeners. Yeah, I suppose, look, I mean, us farmers, we're also consumers, so we feel it in our pocket too when we go to our weekly shop. And I suppose all we're looking for is, like, there was a huge spat in the Dáil last week about the cost of to the consumer and, like, what the government should do or shouldn't do about it. Like, and we're completely non-political, but I suppose all we're asking for is that people need to be told the truth and politicians need to become honest with the consumers and the general public that there's a huge increase in the cost of producing food at farm level. And that's both an economic cost, like that is happening with everybody in their household, whether that be energy, fuel, electricity, labour, financial, diesel for your car, petrol for your car, administrative cost. But there's also a huge burden of environmental and sustainability rules and regulations that have come at farm level as well, because people want more traceable, more nutritious, more environmentally and sustainably produced food, which is absolutely fine, but that all comes at a cost. So between the economic cost and environmental cost, the days of cheap food are over, because it's just not possible to produce the food at the prices that we were expected to produce it at for a number of decades at this point.
So, like, what would you say should be a reasonable price for 2 litres of milk?
Which, I suppose, like, the Ag Food Regulator was set up, I suppose, 2 years ago, or a year and a half ago now at this point in time, and that was supposed to bring transparency to the food, to the complete food chain, right from the farm gate right to the shop shelves. And unfortunately, that hasn't worked as well as we'd like so far. I think there's complete transparency as regards the cost of production. I've just come from the Moor Park Chagas Open Day, where if anybody goes on the Chagas website, they can look up and see exactly how much it costs farmers to produce a litre of milk and how much they get for that litre of milk. But once it leaves the farm gate, It's a smoke mirror as regards whether the processor, the distributor or the retailer, and how much of a margin they get on the milk. So it's very hard to establish what's a fair price.
Yeah, do you know, Dennis, off the top of your head, what it does cost to produce a litre, 2 litres of milk?
It's somewhere between 40 and 42 cent per litre to produce milk, and farmers at the moment are getting somewhere in the region of 50 cent per litre. And that litre of milk, once when it hits the shop shelves, it turns into somewhere around 120 per litre, depending on whether you go own brand or private label or what your affiliation or what brand your affiliation is to.
Yeah, the cost we've got here for 2 litres is 2.45, which sounds about right in the prices that you're saying. It's gone up 12.5%. Yeah. So, I mean, like, are you saying that it's going to stay there or go up? Like, there's no coming down in the price of milk, there's no coming down in the price of butter.
Well, we have the issue at farm level, like the generation renewal, like the next generation is not coming back home to farm because they see of the raft of rules and regulations that are being enforced on farming, the cost and the uncertainty that's associated with being a farmer. It's a fantastic way of life, and it's such a pity that it's not more attractive and there's not a more stable income from it. Like, but when you see the incomes at farm level where they are and the cost of production, so it's just not physically possible to produce food for the prices that people have become accustomed to in a far more highly regulated environment of producing food.
And what about the speed of the increases then that people are seeing over the last 12 months? Because I think everyone will acknowledge, you know, there has been inflation which has been going on, but we're told the rate of inflation has slowed over the last 12 months. And yet, you know, we've a text here from a listener saying they noticed the price of butter has gone up after it came down. It had come down, they say, to £2.99 Little Own Brand. It's now gone up to £3.99 Little Own Brand. Kerrygold is over €4. I mean, how does something go up that much in such a short period of time?
It's probably a reflection that inflation at farm level has absolutely exploded since the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, because it has driven oil prices and energy costs absolutely exorbitantly high, which hugely affects the price of fertilizer, seed, sprays, all those sorts of things that are needed at farm level, diesel for our tractors, electricity to milk cows. All those things have gone exponentially. But I suppose there is a lag between when those costs hit the farmer and when those new prices are negotiated with the retailers. So there is a bit of a lag there. That's probably what we're seeing now. So what we're seeing at the moment is that the new prices that are agreed between the processors and the retailers are coming into effect, and that's a global problem. In America, Kerrygold butter is actually $16.99 per 1.5 per £1.5 now, I'd have to state, per £1.5. And that's just a reflection. And it's the number two selling butter in America. So, I mean, this is the new era that we've entered to. Like, everybody wants, like, the days of having a highly regulated, no volume production system in farming, it sounds lovely, but it comes at a much higher cost. And that's what.
I know you can't necessarily speak to the meat issue, Dennis, but I'm just interested in your thoughts on this. Another text saying, I can't believe how much meat and dairy have increased in price in the last few weeks. Two strip loin steaks, this person says, in a low-cost supermarket are gone from $7.99 to $13.99.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, we do have a livestock committee within ICMSA, so we do have beef and dairy, and it's the same thing on the beef sector. Like, the cost of growing grass, the cost of, making silage on farms, all the associated costs of running machinery, building infrastructure, environmental regulation.
$13.99, though.
Well, that can be in a particular shop on a particular week. I mean, a lot of the times the $7.99 could be a special offer. A lot of the supermarkets and retailers are running special offers at the weekends just to get footfall, because it's a massive problem. As I said, farmers are also consumers, and it's hitting our pockets. Like, I got a huge shock the last day I went to do my own shopping. Okay. I thought it was a mistake that somebody else's shopping had been included with mine.
Yeah, we've all been there. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Dennis, we'll leave it there for the moment, but thank you very much for joining us. I do appreciate it. That's Dennis Drennan, who's president of the ICMSA. 51551 for your text. Now, we were speaking to Dennis Drennan earlier, the president of the ICMSA, who warned us that the days of cheap food are over. So we're going to dig into the numbers a little bit more now, because you will have noticed, I'm sure, as everyone has, the cost of your grocery shopping going up and up and up over the past few years. Oliver Brown is a lecturer in accounting at University College Cork, and he's been crunching the numbers for us. He joins us now. Oliver, you're very welcome to the programme. How much do we know? How much has our grocery shopping, has a grocery shop gone up by?
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for having me. I guess the most accurate way of looking at it from the statistical perspective is the CSO stats on the Consumer Price Index. That would tell you that it's gone up about 23% for food and beverages. So non-alcoholic food and beverages that we consume. But then we don't all experience the basket that's in the Consumer Price Index the same. So, most people don't buy some of the things that have a weight in the Consumer Price Index, and then some people buy a lot more of other things. So we've seen a lot of the things that we would have a heavier weight on in our basket, staples, go up by a lot more. So the best way to look at it, it's actually the 36% increase is from an article by Cian McCormack from RT, where he compares a like-for-like basket from 2021 to 2025. So that's an accurate reflection of exactly the same basket over a 4-year period going up by 36%. And then I went back and I looked at my own shopping for online shops over COVID and my shop the other day. And you're looking and you're like, I come up with the same figure, roughly between 38 and 40% increase over that period. So broadly in line with that. And you can tell if you look down through the CSO figures why things have gone up so much. So if we take 4 years ago as the base and we look at now, we have some things in our basket are going up massively. So sugar is up 58%, olive oil 47%, milk and butter around 44 to 46% up from 2021. So we're seeing virtually everything that's a staple in our households gone up significantly over that period of time.
Yeah, I don't know how many people have said to me recently, you come out with a small basket and you spend 60, 70 euro. It's just the money is just gone. In terms of the price transparency then, I mean, we had a text earlier from someone talking about pesto just going up overnight. I think it was from £1.99 to £2.50. And another text here from a listener talking about chocolate. A chocolate bar used to be 85 cent a year, 2 years ago, says this person. I went to buy the same chocolate bar today. It was €1.85 in my nearest shop. Needless to say, I won't be enjoying one of those bars anytime soon. Do you think there's enough price transparency in supermarkets and information on why and how they're increasing the prices?
No, definitely not. Like you had Dennis Drennan on earlier as well talking about it. The difference between what's paid at to the suppliers and what's charged in supermarkets, where the markups are charged in between. There's no transparency around that for virtually anything. Now, I would say something about the pesto. I've noticed it myself with some prices of products. Like I buy turkey sausages and some weeks they're €3, some weeks they're €3.75, then they're back down to €3.50. There's a lot of variation in those prices. So the only way to track these would be to have some sort of historical price tracking index where we can look at it and say prices were this price on this date, that price on that date. Why did they go up or down? And why, you know, how we track that, you know, you'd have to have at the, a regulatory movement against that. And, you know, the supermarkets won't exactly be pleased with that. But I think it's something from a consumer perspective that's definitely needed, not only from that perspective of the only the price, but the unit pricing. So when we see shrinkflation, you know, a packet of biscuits losing 20 grams, a packet of crisps losing 10%. How much are we paying on a per unit basis for all these items? Because as much as prices could also be going up, the amount you're getting might also be going down.
So,
yeah.
And I mean, we've done a quick tot up here on your figures of the 36% increase, I think you said. If someone spends €200 a week on the shop, if that's what they were spending 5 years ago, and if that is increased by 36%, that's almost €4,000 extra over a year.
Yeah, not only that, like you're talking about the hidden costs that we've had in this as well. So supermarkets, like not including in that, we're talking about the deposit return schemes. So that's adding on every bottle we buy 15 cents. Like I put mine on a gift card so I can spend it at some point in the €60 on that now. That's in the space of 6 months. And some people, they're being donated through schools and stuff you were talking about earlier, very similar idea. So charities are kind of utilizing that. So that's more increases. And then we've got, I had a realization buying shopping the other day where choice and accessibility is being eroded a little bit. So I'm in a two-person household. I buy a four-pack of toilet roll. Last time I was there, there was no four packs available. There was only sixes and nines. So that kind of getting rid of that choice for you and making you buy upfront cost more, not only increasing, it might not increase your overall yearly shop, but it's making you buy more at certain times, making you kind of, I shop in Dunnes, they're trying to always get you above that next €50, trying to get you into use that voucher. And it's that transparency around those, how those pricing work and,
And speaking of choices, then, of course, people who may have dietary restrictions are very limited and very caught, aren't they, when it comes to pricing? We have a text from someone in relation to that. They say they're celiac, so they say their ability to substitute one product to another is very limited because obviously the range of gluten-free products is very narrow. Before COVID, the cereal this person bought, which is the gluten equivalent of a small box of Weetabix, was €5. They say during COVID that went to €5.79. That recently jumped overnight to €6.99 from €5 to €6.99, €7. I don't have a cheaper alternative to buy, so it's an increased cost I've no option but to absorb. Gluten-free producers have the cozy advantage of having limited competition, so they can price their products with less concern that they'll lose market share. And ultimately, it's the consumer with dietary restrictions that pay the price of a zealous producer and or retailer. And another along those lines about lactose-free milk going from 99 cent to today in our local shop, €2.19.
Yeah, I can kind of get around the Weetabix, the wheat-based increase in pricing. So wheat has gone up because of the war in Ukraine, the bread basket of Europe. Okay. So I can see how that goes up. But yeah, I can't see how the increase in the lactose-free milk would be justified by anything. Like that's where transparency needs to come in. There's no way that all of the other costs, like it should cost the same virtually like for like to produce a litre of milk as it does to produce a litre of lactose-free milk in terms of the increase in price. The process of making it lactose-free has not gone up in price compared to the process of making regular milk.
So what would transparency look like? You know, what is it that we would need to see from the big retailers?
So we'd need to see a historical cost of goods for as long as we could make it available. Variations and so fluctuations, we'll say week to week, offers, you know, 3 for 2, buy one, get one free, all these kind of things that go in. I don't know if legally you could request their purchase price. I don't even know from the from an accounting perspective if you'd even get it because of the way that they would manage their inventory, the costing of their inventory. You know, you buy something for €1 one week and €1.50 the next week. What price do you present in terms of the amount still on the shelf to the consumer. So you're not going to get into that.
Yeah, you can imagine commercially sensitive coming into that conversation very, very quickly.
Yes, that's definitely going to be
So where does that leave consumers then? Because if you're just seeing prices going up, and I mean, in terms of forecasting, do we have any idea how much prices might increase? But would you agree? Sorry, that's three questions in one. I'll stick with one. Sorry, Oliver. Would you agree with what Dennis is saying, that the prices are not going to come down? Like, the high prices are here to stay.
I'd absolutely believe that. I think that the era of the cheap food that we use produce is over, not just temporarily. We're kind of looking at a structural shift in how food is produced and priced. So Ireland and globally, big part of that is policy driven decisions at both EU and Irish level, whether around wages. So the government had to pause the increase to the living wage just because producers couldn't absorb it anymore. Food standards, environmental regulation, animal welfare, you know, all these are baseline cost of production that are increasing. And, like, you know, it's be clear that these are important, necessary policies. They're, you know, making a more sustainable, ethical food system, but they do come at a price. And it is showing up on the shelves now. In the past, we could offset some of those by bringing in cheaper imports. But that cushion is gone. We have significant supply chain disruption, fallout from climate change, geopolitical instability. So food markets are a hell of a lot less predictable than they used to be. We've essentially set a new higher floor for food prices, reflecting the increased cost of doing things and the fragility of the system we have relied on for so long.
So then, is it possible to forecast where they're going in future? Are you saying that's just really too difficult to do now because everything's so uncertain?
I would tell you that there's usually one thing that doesn't happen with prices. When they go up, they don't tend to come down very quickly. We might see softening of prices, but whatever we're looking at now, unless there's, like, the things that will come down or could come down would be the likes of dairy and beef. We do see fluctuation in those prices over time. They can go up or down depending on demand. But almost everything else, if it's produced by a big brand and it comes in a package and it's been processed, that's going to stay the same price.
Example then, a texter said a double pack of 250 gram brand name ground coffee was €9.79 18 months ago. It's now €18.50. You're saying it's likely to stay at €18.50.
So we get into a little bit of a problem here when we talk about things like coffee. Coffee is globally traded, so that the price of coffee isn't dictated as much by the producer here. It's how much they have to pay for it on the market. So the price of coffee has gone up about 200% in the past 2 years. So the coffee is produced on mountains. The weather on those mountains is not as good as it used to be. The harvests are lower. The demand is the same or higher, so that means the price goes up. So unless, you know, we're growing coffee higher and higher up mountains, there has to be developed ways to grow coffee in lower areas. So we have an increase. I don't know if you say I'm a big coffee fan, but if you go buy coffee, there's a big increase in the amount of Chinese coffee we see because it wasn't a market that was exploited, and now we've kind of developed into it because it's cheaper to get and produce there, and the awareness of that isn't so high. So, you know, coffee and chocolate,
all the
even
best
orange
stuff.
Juice. Yeah, orange juice is even a globally traded commodity along with wheat. So they've all massively increased over the past number of years.
Well, I think one of our listeners has summed it up by saying it feels like a €50 note is the new €20 note. And I think that's the way we all feel at the moment. Oliver, listen, very interesting to speak to you and thank you for joining us. That's Oliver Brown, who's a lecturer in accounting at UCC. 50551 for your text.